Hey, welcome to the podcast called
Dogs Are Smarter Than People.
This is a podcast where we talk about writing tips, random weird thoughts to start us off that make no sense to anyone, and
how mean Sean is to Carrie, usually.
Oh no, that's true. So hey, thanks for being here with us.
Yes, thank you very much. We hope you chuckle at least one time.
One time. Hey, welcome to our podcast.
Boo, you caught me right in the middle of the yawn.
I know, which is not a positive thing. Hello, everybody.
Well,
this is going to be so boring.
I was waiting for you to get started for a minute or two, and it just sitting in my chair caught up to me. You know what I mean? Because I'm tired.
We had our podcast last week was like a flashback to one of our older podcasts. And I realized when I did that we, had really, really bad sound quality back then.
Worse than that?
Worse than now, which is impressive, honestly.
It is impressive.
And also that because we've got sound design of nothing. But the other thing that I realized was that, I forgot.
That we were better?
No. Yes, we were better back then.
Were but we?
Kind of.
You're supposed to get better, not get worse.
I know. Baby. Welcome to aging.
Maybe. Is that elephant facing the right direction?
Oh my gosh. Nobody knows what you're talking about.
It's a money elephant.
We need money. And then
We always need money.
I realized we'd done like 300 and something podcasts.
For reals?
Over.
All Dogs Are Smarter or everything?
Just Dogs Are Smarter.
Really?
And then I was like, why are we doing this, man? Because people are always like, jettison the stuff that's not making you any money.
Oh, God, we wouldn't hardly do anything. I mean, I guess we just could do that.
I know, right?
We'd have to sell our house, though.
Why?
Oh, because, what do you call it?
What?
What do you call it when you get money from the government?
Bankruptcy?
No, when you get money from the government, like every month your check comes.
SNAP? Welfare.
Welfare won't cover our mortgage is what I'm trying to say.
Truth. Anyways, I realize that's a lot of podcasts.
It is a lot
of podcasts. And it's probably, part of why I've been feeling a little burnout lately.
Just because of the podcast?
Just because,
that's like an hour out of our...
No, it may be an hour out of your life, but for me, I have to research the podcast, I have to put the podcast up, I have to create content and have ideas for podcasts, like...
I'm going to be totally honest with you, baby, it's like 20 minutes out of my life, so I figured with you... My 20 and your hour 40, it equaled like an hour apiece. I love you.
Yeah.
You hardworking superstar.
I just realized that, like, I've been making a lot of content for no point.
Just now? Or when you saw the number?
The number kind of made me realize it. And then I'm like, how many blog posts have I written? How many millions and millions of words have I put out there? You know, like, for free, because I want to help people.
But is the point always have to be money?
No, that's the thing, right? Like, the point is that you want to help people, you want to be of service to people. But then, like, because of our society, if you don't want to go on welfare, you also have to try to make money, right? And
yeah.
I'm not very skilled.
You're super skilled.
I'm skilled at communication and writing and... breaking down bigger ideas into super simple ones, but that's it.
Hey, no, you're skilled at making people feel good and feel valued, and...
Our dog is trying to get the other dog to play.
I know.
Right,
Pogi,
behind
no,
you.
This is not the time to play, baby. Go take a nap, Pogi. Anyways, she's been in the litter box.
I am so sorry. I'm so sorry y'all just heard that. And that's our random thought, I guess.
Oh, but no,
our
real random... about the damn wall.
All right, a real random thought was not Carrie's depressed about all the content she creates and how she still hasn't paid off her house. It's actually... What? No, I realized that our two financial goals are...
We've
like,
only been
in
the house for a few years.
My point is that I don't have, like... I don't need a Porsche, and I don't need a Rolex, and I don't need a Ferrari. I don't need any of those things, right? Hell, I don't need fancy clothes. All I really want is stability so that I can be in service to people in a way that doesn't make me worried constantly about losing a house or losing the ability to do stuff.
And who the hell wants a Rolex? If you're going to pay that kind of money for a watch, pay more and get a watch that only the super few people in the world will recognize and appreciate.
But that's not it.
And then you're living outstanding.
No, because money and power and prestige is this, it's like this, it's just like everything all my writers want. And I'm so sorry, all my writers.
I don't want but prestige. Like,
will you wait for me to finish, please? So, like, I'm sorry, I sounded exasperated, but I'm just so afraid of losing my thought. Like, all my writers want to be best-selling writers. They want to be New York Times bestsellers. They want to get an agent. They have all these goals. And goals are great, right? They're wonderful. But, like, power and prestige and wealth don't necessarily make you happy, right? Like, if you get that goal, that's fan-friggin-tastic. But is it going to fill the hole inside of you if you have a hole inside of you? Is it going to make you feel more mindful? Is it going to make you be less anxious or depressed? You know, and that is kind of my point. Like, you get the Rolex. I'm so sorry I went back to the Rolex because that's not a good enough watch, but it's all I have. You go back to that Rolex or the Porsche, right? Is that going to make you feel fulfilled? Like, why are there so many unhappy, super wealthy humans out there? Why are there so many unhappy, super wealthy humans who are still going more and more and more and not ever stop, like, increasing need?
Because that's not the hole they have. Just what you're trying to say. And no, I don't, I wouldn't buy it. I wouldn't.
Squeaky toy time.
Hoagie. Stop. Good girl. Nice.
You know?
I wouldn't buy, you know, I have a love for watches.
Yes.
And I wouldn't buy that watch to fill any sort of hole. I just like watches.
Well, I shouldn't have picked watches because that obviously made you get a little different.
No, I wouldn't buy anything to fill a sort of hole in my, inside of me. Yeah, maybe a desire like a, you know, a ranch.
Yeah.
I'd buy a ranch.
Why would you buy a ranch? You want too much Yellowstone?
No, I wouldn't want that much of a ranch. Good lord. I don't need to run anything. I need like a ranch just a couple dudes can run for me.
Speaking of ranches, ready?
Uh-huh.
A wallaby was at loose in Kentucky. And I feel like a wallaby really should be on some sort of Australian ranch, right? That's a random thing.
Or the wild.
Yeah, like, so they found this loose wallaby in Kentucky. They spotted it on like a security camera and it went into this like family's front yard.
Yeah.
And like she was like, "Is that a kangaroo? I do not know what this is." And she said, quote, according to the AP article, "This was filmed in my yard at 9:05. I never thought I'd see the day." Which is the cutest thing to say.
Isn't it?
I never thought I would see that day.
The kangaroo was hopping through my yard.
Yeah. But anyways, it's not a kangaroo, which is what everybody thought. It's a smaller version of its marsupial cousin, the wallaby. And that's really cool. But they think that it's like an escape pet, which probably is legal. I don't know the rules in Kentucky.
No, read the bottom sentence.
Oh, they are not mentioned in the prohibited exotic pet rules of Kentucky. So it would have been legal, but they have not yet figured out who the owner is.
That's crazy.
Can you imagine? Like, I'd be like, I have hallucinated. I have hallucinated. In my, like, mushroom risotto, those mushrooms apparently were not good mushrooms.
Like, I kind of feel bad for the wallaby because there ain't no other wallabies hopping around Kentucky, the poor lonely guy or girl.
Lonely wallaby.
Man.
I know.
Somebody needs to throw out some more wallabies.
No, that's not.
Let them, yeah, then they can have like a whole wild wallaby pack running around.
Oh my
Kentucky.
Gosh, no.
That would be awesome.
I don't, that probably has so many environmental and ecological implications.
I know, but how cool would it be?
All right, so here is the real part of the podcast.
Oh, the good part.
No, you think the random thought's the good part.
Sometimes.
Okay, so we've been talking about dialogue in novels lately and tips about it and the purpose of it. And to find any back posts and information, just head to Living Happy and search dialogue. Living Happy is on Substack. And it's also linkable through these podcast notes. So one of the things that some writing stylists talk about when they're talking about dialogue is the three-beat rule, which is, why are you making a face?
I can't even say the joke I'm thinking of, but go ahead.
And that rule is credited to the screenwriter Cynthia Whitcomb. Reedsy explains this rule as...
What this recommends, essentially, is to introduce a maximum of three dialogue beats.
And they're going to define beat
as the short phrases in speech you can say without pausing for breath.
At a time.
Well, it's in parentheses. So anyways, a maximum of three dialogue beats at a time. Only after these three dialogue beats should you insert a dialogue tag, action beat, or another character's speech.
So if this sounds a little formulaic, well, it is, but it also can be really helpful because formulas can really be helpful. Reedsy made a cute little graphic to demonstrate that, where they highlighted the dialogue that was more than a beat, right? So like in this one, it was, of course not, she said. It was an imaginary gun. Mind, you should never point a gun at anyone ever, not even an imaginary gun.
You want me to read the one that's too long?
No, I want you to read the whole thing.
Oh, the whole damn thing?
Oh, my
God. Because you started in the middle.
I was doing the things that related
to... Oh, okay, well, I'm going to do the beats, the proper beats, okay? Dead, called Jake in a nonchalant way.
No, that's the beginning.
Of course not, she said. And then there was that long, long thing. And then, I never will, said Jake. What?
All right, so according to Reedsy, the things that can be read as beats are, it was an imaginary gun, mind, you should never point a gun at anyone ever, not even an imaginary gun, right?
Right.
And so the third beat begins after the ever. So that's what they're saying are those short phrases of speech beats that you can do without pausing for a breath, right?
In that one sentence.
In that one sentence.
It was an imaginary gun. Mind you, should never point a gun at anyone, ever. Not even an imaginary gun.
Right.
Okay.
So, like, if I were acting, I would probably be like, it was an imaginary gun. Mind, you should never point a gun at anyone, ever. Not even an imaginary gun. But I would breathe. Like,
during
multiple,
that sentence?
Yeah. Like, a lot, honestly. For emphasis, right? Like, and, like, my problem with their example, because I'm such a jerk, is that a comma kind of indicates a pause. A sentence indicates a clear stop. So this whole rule is kind of based on ignoring those things.
Right.
If that makes sense. And so... that's why I have a tiny bit of problem with the rule.
No, I understand what you're saying. Like, you can't have a beat without the comma, though, but I feel like that's... and when they throw the whole breath thing in there, that's like...
yeah.
Whatever.
Okay, so here's another example from Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451. You can read the whole thing if you want.
Montag stopped at the door with his back turned. Millie? A silence. What? Millie? Does the white clown love you? No answer. Millie does. He licked his lips. Does your family love you? Love you very much. Love you with all their heart and soul, Millie.
So there's not really as good a rule of three here. It's more a rule of three or less, which is kind of how I like to think of it instead. And it makes it a tiny bit more less formulaic, and it's a little bit more natural, and it kind of just, if you look at what Bradbury did, right?
Yeah.
He integrates the dialogue, so the spoken word, with the dialogue beat, which would be the stopping at the door, the silence, the licking of lips, right? You got that, right?
I got it, yes.
And so that beat is different from a dialogue tag, which is like he said or she said or we yelled. It's a beat of action or emotion or setting and senses. But if you look back at that lesson 3-beat rule. When we look up at that Bradbury piece, like, the emotions glide right in, right? He communicates the tension of the scene. And those short lines and those short bits of talking make it really, really fast-paced instead of bogging down the pace of your story with the dialogue, right?
Oh, yeah.
Do you get that?
Does
that
I make do. Sense? I'm wondering, can we use that in journalism?
Yes, I use it in journalism all the time, but not all of us do.
Yeah, but then you have to say things like, I don't know, looking down at his notes in between
sentences. If it's true, and you can remember, and like, yeah, you can totally do that. It's like, you know how like sometimes in a story, like the part of the news story that really stands out is the exchange. Like every once in a while, you'll put in an exchange in a story. Like you did that today in the Village Improvement Association right. story. That, to me, is the part of the story that I'll remember the most. And it's where my eye naturally goes because of those shorter sentences.
Yeah.
And even though it doesn't have those dialogue beats in it, right?
Right.
Dialogue tags, I'm sorry, and dialogue beats, it has like the like faster beat of pacing and language.
That's going to be my new goal.
Oh, cool.
For the paper.
I got Shani a new goal.
Because sometimes when I do, like, quotes, you know, they're like novelettes.
They are novelettes.
I mean, yeah. Good Lord.
And when you write a novelette, it's a lot easier to mess up one word.
So if I can interrupt them by, like, an action tag, what do they call it? Action tags? Or?
No, you don't have to have a tag. All right, so there's a dialogue tag.
Dialogue tag.
And then there's also, like, a beat, right? And so, yeah. like, the tag is like he said, she said.
Right.
But the other one is like.
But the beat is something else. The verb. The beat is the verb?
It's like he looked up.
Right.
He banged his gavel.
Right.
She banged the gavel.
Right.
She looked up. They looked up. It's just that kind of stuff. And that's really it. Like, so basically, when you don't want your dialogue to go on forever because. And then it slows the pace down just as much as everything else.
Gaia.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right.
This is one of the most interesting ones we've done to me.
Oh, no. we also have in the podcast notes a place to submit for a very cool writing prize. The dog tip of the pod, which we'll tell you in a second once we figure out what it is. And a cool exercise about action beats.
Exercise. Yeah, I didn't sign up for no exercise. Dog tip for life.
Why do you always have that sigh after?
Oh, that's an emphasis point. That's in the writing world. That's in my writing world. I just made that up.
Okay. So
it's a point of emphasis.
Oh, all right.
It's a soft exclamation. Is what. Astute people call it.
Oh, well, there you go. So what's our dog tip for life, baby? Or a dog tip of the pod or whatever it is.
Dogs like masters that'll let the reader see the dialogue. Dogs like short sentences when it comes to dialogue, such as sit, treat, walk. People do too. It keeps our attention.
Ooh, nice.
However.
Oh, no.
Don't use that sort of dialogue with your significant other too often or they'll get mad at you.
Or use the word master unless it's consensual role play.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah, baby.
That's right.
Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast. All the podcast notes are on Living Happy on Substack or CarrieJonesBooks.blog. The awesome music was available via the Creative Commons and it's been clipped. There's someone singing outside the window right now.
But they're not singing our song.
But that is Broke for Free, and the song is Summer Spliff.
Everybody's favorite.
I wish. I'd probably be less cranky.
Yes, you would be less cranky.